So as I mentioned earlier, among the many gifts and contributions of our guest speaker this morning, Joseph Telushkin, is that he has written some mysteries, and we share a passion for mysteries and mystery books. And I remember in particular, when I was a teenager, that I read and reread mysteries in general, but especially Sherlock Holmes. And you read Sherlock Holmes for the same reason that I used to watch Mr. Spock on Star Trek. Because Sherlock Holmes was a reasoning machine. He could, through reason, figure out things that seemed to be mysteries. And that ability is something I think that everybody is envious of and wishes they had. But as someone who's read probably too many mysteries, I can point you to two classics in the genre. One called Trent's Last Case by Eric Bentley, and the other called The Viaduct Murders by Ronald Knox. Both of them who have detectives like Sherlock Holmes, and the detectives in the books reason through a long chain till they come up with the murderer, but it turns out that they're both completely wrong. And Trent's Last Case became, in particular, one of the great mysteries. If you look on any list of the best mystery books ever written, Trent's Last Case is always there. Because it was shocking, because it makes perfect sense how he reasons, he just got it wrong. And I think there is something of that in the story of Abraham. Because as you read this morning, you remember Abraham and Sarah can't have a kid. So they reason it out. They say, you know what, we can't have a child. Hagar can have a child. We'll have a child with Hagar. It all makes perfect sense. We'll raise the child. Sarah will be happy. Hagar will be happy. Abraham will be happy. But like Trent's Last Case, the problem with the reasoning is you can't reason these things out. It doesn't work. It is a mistaken analysis of the situation, because having a child isn't a product of reason, and loving a child isn't a product of reason. And it's not the only time that Abraham makes that mistake. As we saw this morning, and again, because he does this twice, he reasons that if he goes with Sarah into a foreign country, obviously he's going to be killed and she'll be kidnapped and they'll lose everything. But his reasoning is wrong. And he misconceives the nature of the rulers he's dealing with. And it's because Abraham doesn't have bitachon, trust. Because trust isn't reasonable. It isn't always reasonable to trust someone, and it certainly isn't always reasonable to trust God. Because rational analysis will tell you that sometimes you trust and it doesn't work out the way you want. In Sodom, reason will fail Abraham again. He figures, okay, God's reasonable, I can reason with him, I'll just bargain. What if there are 50 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous, gets him down to 10? The only problem is, of course, he got it wrong. There don't happen to be 10 people who are righteous in Sodom. Something, by the way, that God must have known when he started the bargaining. I just want to point that out, that God has a card up his sleeve, so to speak, that Abraham isn't aware of. And I think in some ways, from a certain perspective, this is the lesson of the Akedah, of the binding of Isaac, with which Abraham's career, so to speak, finally culminates. Because God says to Abraham, I want you to do something completely unreasonable. And by now, Abraham realizes that reason alone is not enough. Which isn't to argue for the worthlessness of reason, but just for its insufficiency. it's just not enough to be reasonable. And generally, by the way, just as a parenthesis, when people are asking you to be reasonable, what they're asking you to do is agree with them. When someone says, will you be reasonable, that always means, will you just agree with me, which is reasonable, instead of taking your position, which is unreasonable. But Avraham finally realizes that you can't be reasonable about the fundamental premises of life. Is it worth getting up in the morning? There's no way to reason that. Is it worth loving? There's no way to reason that. Or better, you can reason it both ways. Is life good or bad? Arguments balanced. Should you have trust in God or should you not? Nobody comes to that through argument. I remember for many years when I used to teach Jewish philosophy, I would diagram all the arguments for God on the board, the ontological argument and the teleological argument and the cosmological argument. And when I was done diagramming them all on the board, I never had a student go, "Ah, now I believe." Because it's deeper than reason. And what Avraham comes to is bitachon, is trust and faith. Despite the fact that he knows that it won't always produce the results that he wants, he doesn't have faith in God because God makes everything all right all the time. He still goes through the famine. He still loses Sarah. But he recognizes that ultimately faith is not reasonable. It's not unreasonable. It's just deeper than reason. Even the most reasonable man in the Jewish tradition, the lover of reason, the Rambam, Maimonides, in Hilchot Yisodei Torah, in his beginning of his great code of law, spends five paragraphs talking about how you have to have a passion for God and love God before he finally gets to Aristotle and starts talking about the reasons. Faith is deeper than reason. And relationship is not always reasonable. When we teach children to be good, to be kind, to have manners, to have ethics, at some point they say, why? Why do I have to be good to that kid whom I don't like? Why do I have to return this thing that I've taken when nobody knows except for you that I took it? And we give answers, but the truth is there is no reasoned answer that can convince someone to be good. It has to be something deeper. Because it isn't true that if you treat others well, they'll always treat you well. It isn't true that playing fair is always rewarded. And it is true, as Leo Durocher famously said, that sometimes nice guys finish last. It's not reasonable. But what is true is that living your life with reasons alone is barren and foolish. And the reason that we bring someone to Sinai Temple who teaches us of ethics and goodness is not because it is the most reasonable way to live, but because it is the deepest and best way to live. Because like Avraham Avinu, we have learned the poetry of faith and the beauty of bitachon, of trust. That is the message that Avraham bequeathed to the world. And I can give you reasons to heed that message, but of course, the best reason I can give is not a reason, but a response. For when God calls to Avraham, for his last test and his greatest, Avraham doesn't say why. He doesn't say, give me reasons. He says, Hineni, I am here. Shabbat Shalom.